being in that liminal space where we can experiment and really take on some clothing or a masquerade, first it sounds really, really odd because people in business usually, and that's what I experience first, think, oh, game? Really? I need to wear that? And after 5 minutes, and I say literally, we had CEOs mocking the dead Rob with post-its on their eyes with an X and was like on the floor, like mimicking the dead seal.
Welcome to the New Process Podcast. Learn all the tools, methods, and best practices combined with people, emotions, and a human-centric mindset to rethink your process and push it to the next level. And here is your host, Mirko Kloppenberg.
Yeah, welcome to episode 16 of the New Process Podcast, where we are going to explore how to apply gamification ideas to inspire people for processes. Today's guest is Jasmine Caritas. Jasmine describes herself as a gamification advisor and consultant, UX expert, speaker, and content creator who helps you to create emotional and gamified experiences your audience can't get enough of. So she's a solopreneur located in Zurich, Switzerland. She's working as gamification and strategic designer since 2020. Before this, she worked for Accenture and other companies as innovation manager, gamification consultant, and strategic designer. And Jasmine also hosts her own JK's Twitch channel, where she is sharing tips and tricks on gamification to make the world a little bit more playful. Yeah, great. So what's in for you? As you already heard in the opening, it's not going to be a session where we are talking about these boring role plays you might know from these old school trainings. And I really hated playing role plays in trainings in the past. So the worst were the ones which were also then captured on camera and then afterwards talked about. Ah, damn. But her ideas on how to gamify a learning process based on role play games completely opened up a new creative space for myself in on thinking how to do this. So in this episode, you will learn how to proceed to develop gamifications, how to apply gamification methods to push your process to the next level, how to use gamifications to inspire people for processes, and Jasmine also brings in some brilliant ideas to rethink processes. And she introduces us to the world of Twitch, which I personally haven't explored so far.
And now, let's start to rethink processes.
Yeah, great to have you here, Jasmine. Welcome to the New Process Podcast. We have already been talking about some gamification ideas a few episodes ago, and I thought I have to deep dive more and more into this topic, and I'm so happy, excited to have you here today. So welcome, Jasmine.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great. So let's start right into the check-in, and let me ask, what do you prefer in an aircraft, aisle or window seat?
Window, for sure.
Yeah, why?
Because I love to see the outside, especially when it's dark or night, because I can see down the lights. But I as well love when you fly over Zurich, you can see the lakes and the stuff, and I can see where I'm living. So that's kind of nice. And I love how the landscape is changing. So that's the reason why I love to sit at the window.
Cool. That's very nice. I also love flying into Zurich as well. That's great. I think I haven't done that at night. It was always in the morning, but maybe next time. That's cool. And what is your favorite airport?
I think Zurich as well, but I like Frankfurt as well.
Really?
I have to say I hated them at the beginning, to be honest, because Zurich is kind of very strange to find your way around, but they are very, very fast. So I like it. And it's very small to compare to Frankfurt. But Frankfurt is the one I flew most from. And so I know kind of a lot around there. So I like that one kind of very much because it's like my home base, or it was a long time my home base. And it's not a nice airport to say, but it's a functional one as well as the Zurich one. So And they fly everywhere. I mean, these are the hubs in Europe. So especially Frankfurt is. So you can go from there everywhere in the world.
Yeah, that's true. I have been living in Frankfurt for a while and I really love to go to the airport and just fly everywhere. I want to fly too. Now from Hamburg, it's hard. Always you have to shuttle first to Munich, Frankfurt, Zurich. Yeah. To get to the whole world. Yeah, that's true. Cool. And let's get a little bit closer to the topic of processes. So what was the best process you've ever experienced?
Here I have to ask a question, because is it an analog process or a digital one? Because I have to say they differ a lot.
Okay, so whatever you like can be analog as well.
So for the, to be honest, like the analog ones, I really love to have, if I prefer to go to the checkout, the normal checkout to the cashier, I like if they have a smile. So if they can give you, you know, like what you wanted to have and that stuff. So it's very easy and lean to go through. And if you have a smiling person, I really love to go there, especially when you're in Lindo-Sprüngli, where, you know, like you're getting this very keen, very nice people talking to you in Switzerland. So I love that kind of analog. Usually I prefer to have a non-person checkout because it's faster. And if I just have to buy stuff, it's easier and lean. So it's a mixed, and I really love the micro, process of checkout. So for me, that's very, very lean.
How does
so that's
it look
my
like?
Everyday.
Yeah.
It's an e-commerce. I can buy my groceries really, really fast, and it gives me a lot of my recommendations, what I bought last week.
Okay.
And it's very, very, very convenient, very lean, it's kind of, if you have problems, they are reachable and so on and so forth. And you get tracks a lot of the information, what comes when and so on and so forth. And if it comes to literally to business processes, like if you are on the employee side or so on, what I like there and I experience as well is if you have like a coffee together where you can experience recruitment. So that was in my former job, a little bit different because it's not like an official kind of hiring process, but you get a little bit of information mm-hmm. with colleagues up front. You get to know the feeling of the bureau, of the office, and then you can you know, like look if you really wanted to apply for a job, because that makes it a little bit more familiar or a little bit more, you know, like understandable, and the feeling is different. And then you have a normal application process afterwards, and you're it's a little bit different because you already have a personal contact, especially if you are hired for a manager position or something like that. I prefer to have such hiring processes, which makes it a little bit more personal rather than you're just a number.
Yeah, that's cool. I wanted nearly to say human centricity there in the process.
Yeah, it is, to be honest. Yeah.
Cool. So with regards to processes, how would you describe your relationship to processes?
Actually, I design processes.
Yeah,
a lot
cool.
of times. So, being it user experience, which are actually a process, like how you're coming from any kind of employee branding or checkout or whatever it is, right? E-commerce or other websites, you always design a process. Being it with user experience, being it with gamification or building the bridge between analog and digital, so a hybrid kind of process. So actually I'm a designer of that. So my relationship is usually, I hope, a good one. But to be honest, it's a little bit on you know, like it's always like, do you like it or do you hate it? It depends really on as well how the technology behind a lot of processes enables you to, so to say, because that's sometimes key in our world. And if the technology is not ready, you have a shitty process. And if you need to digitalize this shitty process, it's still a shitty process. And then nothing really helps because you can throw gamification on it, or you can try to throw UX on it. But if the technology is not ready and you're not able to trigger at the right point, the right experience, you're lost. And so, and that is when you call me to make it better and try to convince clients to make it a little bit different. But there's always a way around. But yeah, I think processes are important, and we need to understand that processes enable a lot of who we are and what we do.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, great. We already reached the flight level and can dive right into it now. So, as I already said, you are working as a gamification advisor and strategic designer.
Yeah.
What are you doing in this role?
So, I explained a little bit already, a little bit upfront. I touched upon it. So, either I design strategically the processes or products. So, both sides, digital product and processes, are very close together. Mm-hmm. Because with a digital product, you design the process to be kind of honest, depends on the product, to be frank, but yeah. And in the gamification part, I try to leverage the power of science and psychology behind games, like literally digital games, and bring that into employee branding, learning processes, checkout processes, or so on and so forth. Either make it more fun in brackets, or making it more motivational, or just literally more, I call it, instead of human-centric, value-based, because for me that's a difference, and bring more emotions into the process itself, and try to combine it with my vast experience of user experience in general.
Okay, cool. That's super interesting. And what would you say, what was your favorite gamification project you have been working on, just to give an example?
I think one of my or the ones I love the most are the escape games I did. So you're building a process of learning, so to say, but completely different. It's an analog one, it's not completely digital. And to be honest, it's a game. So you really design the process of learning into the product, which is then an escape game later, and building that and bring that together with the meta level of the learner's journey or employee journey, which has different kind of segments, not only just the game, escape game, but bring that together with what they really need to learn on a functional basis and so on and so forth, and open them up for the real hard learnings later on, so that they are inspired and more open, fresh-minded, and so on and so forth. And the fun part here is that you always have a laugh on the face. Or the people, you know, like maybe sometimes they are looking cringy because they want to understand what's behind that. But at least they have the kind of click moment, and people love to know more. And that's very important for me.
Okay, that's super interesting. And can you give a more detailed example of how a game like this looks like? Just because I'm really curious.
Yeah, for
now.
Sure. the thing is, usually, what we do is we talk to the clients and we ask them, okay, what are the learning nuggets, for example? So when we have, for instance, something like collaboration or agile, because a lot of people or companies now need to learn agile, the agile way of working together, we build an escape game in which are riddles of agile development kind of way, but you fractalize them into... for instance, that you need to have snippets of code, and then they need to find the codes together and fidget them so that they are looking like a user story, so that they're standing ISO, and then they need to find the right role to the description, and so on and so forth. And it looks really like you have a lot of different pieces of papers in front of you, because it's not digital, it's an analog workshop. And then you really need to go from one riddle to the next, and so on and so forth. But the fun part of this was, especially that the teams, because we played it with five teams, and there was a five-digit code you need to solve. But the thing was that some hints of the groups were on the other team. So at a certain point, they needed to understand that they need to collaborate to be able to finish the escape room altogether. And in Agile, it's the same. Because in Agile, if you don't collaborate with legal, or if you don't collaborate with the tech guys or with the UX guys, you're lost because the product doesn't get ready and you're not finished. And so they understand that they need to break the silos down, and that may, and they need to collaborate instead to fight against each other. And that is most of the time a big key term in their way how they think. So that is literally a little bit how it could look like. Mm-hmm. But it's really customized. But yeah, we use the same kind of mechanics, but riddles mm-hmm. are different.
Okay, I'm already brainstorming in my head how to apply that to process, but I have to wait just seconds for that. Before we try to apply that more to processes, how do you proceed to develop gamifications like this?
Gamification itself is kind of a process, because you not really can gamify a product in that section. You gamify always kind of a process, because and that is as well with goes with the escape game. Yes, it is a product, but you gamify on the way the learning journey, which is a process. You gamify with certain mechanics, for example a checkout process or e-commerce process, where you know, okay, the user comes from there, he needs to click here, and so on and so forth. What you do here is really to use certain mechanics, like, for instance, we all know the Amazon reviews and the star marking thing, like to rating options. That would be, for instance, it's a mechanic in out of games which are used. Mm-hmm. I mean, the psychological background of that is kind of leveling or ranking and so on and so forth. And that is what we can use in a certain process to bring people a little bit closer to where they should be. But for this, we need to understand first who is there, or the mechanics, or at least what we wanted to solve at the end.
Okay, that's super interesting. I'm already thinking about the pizza game we discussed with Ole Tillmann a few episodes ago, where we created mm-hmm. a game. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but it's a simulation where the workshop participants bake pizza according mm-hmm. to a process description, and then they start learning how to use process documentation, for example, and how to improve, so on.
It's the same what you can use for. So what we did as well was a new process, or what the people needed to learn a new process, how to do, I think, working together globally. I'm not quite sure if it was in governance kind of topics or what it was, but because it was a long time ago, but it was as well kind of a escape-ish gamey five thingy. It was not completely escape game, but they needed to solve certain things first, and then they got the next. So, and then they understood, okay, I need to go to Buenos Aires before I can go XYZ, because I need to get information from there and there and so on and so forth. Or especially when business units are changing, or if there are new stuff needs to be done, you can use something like a map, what we say, and you can undiscover this map by certain how you do that and so on and so forth. So you need to get the or understand and solve the problem first before you can go to the next item or next island or so on and so forth. And at the end, you understand, okay, the process is different and I need to follow it XYZ and so on and so forth. But using those techniques is more or likely you're getting an impulse, and after that you need to discuss about the findings of the game, or about what people observed, because it's not a standalone where people really understand, okay, that was now behind it. So the gamification is literally just an add-on, to be frank. What it makes, or it makes it easier for the humans, or for the users, or how you wanted to call them, to understand why it is important, because it gives them the feeling of either that they succeed, or that they actually didn't succeed. And that is important as well.
Okay, so a lot of emotions also involved there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, cool. Let's try to apply this more to process. And let's take an example, which I use quite often. So let's imagine you are or I am the process owner of a process, like taking hiring new employees process. Mm-hmm. And now I would like to train the HR recruiters working in my process and inspire them for my new process. How can I do that by using gamification aspects there? What would you recommend to me?
May it sounds odd, but I would do a role play, to be frank.
Okay.
With certain rules and restrictions, so with a certain game frame, putting them really into a role play with certain targets, with certain items, with certain aspects, so to say, and really making it like a game so that they have a certain time to play that and so on and so forth, and they need to reach a certain goal. I know that may sound odd because a lot of people think, oh, that's what we already do, but you need to carefully design that, and it makes fun and it's easy to understand and they reach a goal. But usually people, if they replay something, they really understand, okay, that needs to be changed, or I'm in the shoes of somebody, whomever, and then especially as well, maybe you observe that something needs to be changed in the process because something is not the right way already, or they really understand, okay, how the process needs to be kind of enrolled, or what their role actually is in that process. So if it is really about the hiring process, it is really, from my point of perspective, this is such an emotional state and such an emotional process for everybody that It should be something people really should role play in the best manner, or simulate it at the end. But that needs to be carefully done, because if you are in recruiting and we know how it works, it is like you're getting numbers and you said you need to hire 50 people XYZ, and then you're just a number. And what we forget about that is experience. People nowadays talk about the experiences. They're putting it out on Twitter. They're putting it out on Instagram. And I think it's important that either they experience on their own how it should be, or bring their own flavor to it and can say, okay, that doesn't work, or so on and so forth. So use it on both sides, not just to learn, but to see if everything, how we from top thinking how it should work, really works out for the one who really need to do it at the end, for the recruiters or whomever is involved in the process.
Okay. I'm already working on that. Try to find solutions to implement process trainings there with regards to what you just said.
I really would recommend look into Dungeons & Dragons. I mean, really, and that's what I mean, not just the role play, like, playing a role, really. I mean, role play in the game sense.
Okay,
literally.
Can you elaborate more on that? How
usually you give a character. Usually you give a character. You have character sheets. You give a character a certain specialty. Either you can go completely crazy and can say, okay, the recruiter is the wizard, like Gandalf recruiting, like, because it's interesting. A lot of people know Lord of the Rings, so he needs to recruit, you know, like the friends for the journey, and there needs to be a Frodo and the ring, and maybe the ring is the, unfortunately, it sounds a bit odd because the ring will be destroyed later. So a good kind of, but doesn't matter. But something like that, you know, like bring them into a very interesting kind of different thinking of, okay, if you would need to save the world and put that ring somewhere, who does we need? And then you may have Gandalf, you may have Frodo, and so on and so forth. What would be the best thing you need? And so in Dungeons & Dragons, or in role-play games, really have a character sheet, and you really have a mission. The mission is designed out. The quests on there are really designed out, and so on and so forth. And that is completely different than a normal role play where you say you're playing the recruiter. Everybody knows how to play a recruiter, you know, because that's the job. But putting them into a different kind of really may odd way of you are now Gandalf the Grey, and you need to look, okay, how do we destroy that stupid ring and bring that to Mordor? And there are a lot of, you know, like in between things, like, and you really can go both. If you like Hogwarts more, go for Harry Potter. But being in that liminal space, we can experiment and really take on the, you know, like the maybe some clothing or I don't know, masquerade. It sounds really, really odd, because people in business usually, and that's what I experienced first, think, game, really? I need to wear that? And after 5 minutes, and I say literally, we had CEOs mocking the dead Rob with post-its on their eyes with an X, and was like on the floor, like mimicking the dead seal. And I was just like, okay, why? Okay, good, but it's working.
That's super cool.
And at the end, you really have you're shaping the process on a different way, and you give people the opportunity to experiment, because if they are in their role still as a recruiter, they try always to think that in the old processes and in the old ways how they work, that they are not doing a mistake. But if you put them out into a real role play, and I mean really role play game, there's nothing they can do wrong, because it's you give them options and you give them stuff too. It's about the journey they are taking, and hopefully at the end they are winning. And it's not about the result at the end. And it's about the journey and observations they're doing on the way.
Well, this really opens up a completely new creative space for me to think about how to inspire people for process. That's great. And now let's apply this exactly to the topic of process management, because this is one of the biggest problems the people providing process management to an organization out there have, that processes are often felt like something really boring, a lot of documentation, I have to work according to these processes. That really sucks. And how can I inspire the people for working according to processes, improving these processes? What do you think there? Are there other ideas, in addition to what you just said, how to inspire people for processes?
I mean, the thing is that usually what motivates people the most is they have purpose, autonomy, and ownership. Like, that is something really important for them. Mm-hmm. Meaning that processes... Or how should I say? I usually like to say, okay, we all know how soccer or football is played, because it's a process. I mean, we have rules and restrictions. We know it's long. It lasts usually 2 half times, and it is like 90 minutes. And there are 2 goals, and there is a ball, and there are 11 people in the playing field, and what it is not described how you need to exactly give the ball to the next or pass the ball to the next player, but it's described, okay, you need to pass the ball to the next player somehow to be able to make a goal. The thing here is, if we are tied in a process too much, people are losing the interest. And if we are tightening too much, a computer can do it, literally. Then please automate it, because we are not computers. People's possibility and capacity is better in being creative, and that is what a game is doing. It gives you the playing field, and it gives you the kind of process, but it gives you some space to be able to fulfill the process in your kind of manner, in your best way. And that is, I think, I know a lot of people now listening to it would say that never would work, that never would work out. But then tell me, how can we then still play soccer? How then it never changed? How then, if it is such a shitty process, why millions of people are playing that and watching that? And even with game, it's even more processes. In a game, you have a design process you need to fulfill to be able to play that game till the end. But people either drop that if they don't like the process, they drop the game, or they play till the end and they do it again and again and again and again. So ask me, if that is so wrong, what we do in the gamification or in the game area, why millions of people pay actually to be able to play that? That can't be that wrong, right?
Yeah. That's absolutely true. And do you have an idea of how to play a game or how to design a game which then inspires people for processes? Like you just explained with the role play for the HR process, is there something else you have in mind thinking about process, how to tell that to the people in a gamified way?
I think, to be honest, there is something in games, or there is always something, or not something, but somebody like a game master or a game designer. And for me, to see yourself not like a process designer, but somebody who building experience rooms or rooms for experiences for those people in these processes, because everything is a process. The way is a process. The game itself is a product, but in the game, you're following a process, like a path, rather than to design that in as a game designer. If you would just give, like Tetris, I just try to give the metaphor. And I try to explain that with the soccer, but maybe it was not the best metaphor. As a designer, and now you are the business process guy who owns that, okay? Imagine you were the designer of Tetris. If you were usually in this process area, you usually try to design to leave no space. That the tiles of the Tetris which comes down, like the bracket, like the L's or the T shapes or whatever, you would have said that needs to go there, and there, and there. And so it's really strict, and you don't have any chance as a gamer. So as the people who need to follow the process, they don't have any options to do it differently, to get creative or have the feeling of ownership or so, that they really can decide. So what you then do as a game designer is to leave space. To leave the opportunity, you know, okay, this time this is coming, this tile is coming, like the I shape or the L shape or the T shape or the Z shape. You know that is coming, but you leave that up, how it works. And at the end, it is important, okay, what is the outcome? And I know that the outcome maybe needs to be exactly like that. But then I advise you, if you need the exactly like that, what a game designer does, they use algorithms for that. Because if something needs to be verified with the outcome that it 100% needs to come like that, don't leave space for human beings. And that's what a designer not doing. A game designer gives that, if it needs to be really like that, it gives an algorithm towards it into the process. To leave space for creativity and freedom and so on and so forth. So as a business process, a manager, I recommend you to think not as a process, as a strict way. Think of how you can how to give opportunities where possible to people having this experience and bring their own creativity. If that is not possible, please. And maybe that is something not cool to say, but please then use computers for that, because they're more accurate than human beings.
Yeah. Okay, I fully agree. And now I also found out that you are having your own Twitch channel, and I'd love to learn more. I'd love to learn more about that. So, what are your experiences in hosting your own Twitch channel for gamification? Maybe you have to explain what exactly Twitch is and what you are doing there, but I'm super curious on that as well.
So I try to say it in one sentence what Twitch is. Twitch is the YouTube for non-YouTubers, so for gamers, but everybody as well is welcome there. And I'm not streaming games there. Not at all. I'm not playing there. But it's one of the first live streaming, so it's kind of the most people probably know LinkedIn Live here in the business kind of context. So it's LinkedIn Live, but for everybody and for people like me who are a little bit strange. And so what I do there, or how I actually ended up there, is I don't like the time spending into building nice YouTube videos because it takes me too long. And then I talked to my brother, who is a streamer his own on Twitch, but he streams literally. He's a online leaguer kind of guy. So he talks about games and that stuff. So he's really into the gaming thing and let's plays. Me not. So for me, it was like, okay, talk to him and say, okay, listen, I don't know what I should do. I'm a raw person. I'm a really impulsive person. And YouTube just, you know, like, is, I don't like it because I need to, you know, like, cut the stuff. And he said, okay, I don't know if that would work, Jasmine, but you're educational. That's a YouTube topic. But try it out. Just start. And so I started and I still don't know if it works out, but for me, it's kind of working. I mean, if you compare it to big streamers, I'm a very, very small streamer, but I have my community who watches me 3 times a week. And we are exploring the space of, at the moment, we go through Reality is Broken from Jane McGonigal, which deals with alternate reality games and like really about the psychological backgrounds of gaming and how that is interwoven with business or with real life. And we look at the science behind that. So a lot of people are coming, listening in the morning. I don't know why they are doing that, but okay, whatever they like. And sometimes we're just talking about, you know, like what happens in or happened during the week or in other lives, or just try, you know, like having a good time sometimes as well together. And sometimes we are as well talking about UX. Sometimes we talk about collaborations I'm having, for instance, with some other companies, how to use gamification, how to use UX, and so on and so forth. But why I really do it is because of the community. And I think that is more and more coming, how you build a community, how you hold a community, and how you have the process of to be found on Twitch, because Twitch is not a search engine like YouTube, like Google. Mm-hmm. And what you can do actually to bring that content to your audience. And I think that is something inspiring for me, and getting the feedback directly from the community and be able to build that into my products or processes, or we did workshops, for instance, for a brand who developed, or the brand developed a learning journey and story together with us, with other streamers and me, and now they will roll out it, I think, for their employees later on then.
Okay. Is there a way to have private Twitch streams as well for company internal stuff, or is it always public?
It's okay. Always public. There's no opportunity to close that, but you can have the opportunity if you want that, but that's not what it is. Mm-hmm. Twitch is not about having this, you know, like private stuff. It is for everybody. It's TV. Mm-hmm. It was just in TV, also television, and now it's twitch.tv. It's not like, so it's broadcasting. It's available for everybody, and it's not like Zoom or Teams or whatever. And that is not the spirit of Twitch. So if you're looking for something private, that wouldn't work there.
Okay. Yeah, it would be interesting to think about streaming company internal process topics there, or just setting up a new process Twitch channel to talk about the stuff I'm talking about.
You can start already. You just need to build that wonderful channel, and then you just can immediately start. It's a little bit hard to do start, but you could just download OBS. Yeah. And having some stream elements with the chatbot and stuff, but you can use whatever you want as a broadcasting service, and then something on the other hand with the you know, like chat kind of way. To be honest, it's a process itself. You really need to understand, from my point of perspective, how it is working, how the stream itself is working, when you're starting, when our shout outs are coming, how you're setting up the bots, how you're setting up your interactions, and so on and so forth. You need to have content and literally it's a process on its own. It needs to be somehow kind of streamlined, because if you don't do, you mess it up. And it's very interesting, to be honest.
Yeah, that's super cool. So maybe there will be a new process Twitch channel in the future. That's super interesting. Thanks for these inspiring impulses. That's just great.
You're welcome.
Cool. Yeah, then let's sum it up a little bit and transferring your overall experience to processes. What are your top three recommendations to our listeners to rethink processes to get to a more human-centric BPM approach?
First, please think of the value you are adding. I know that we talk a lot about human centricity. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to give another viewpoint on that, because as I said, I'm a UX, so I'm dealing a lot with human and beliefs and so on and so forth. At the end, what we try to build is value. And this value for us as the user, for the company, and so on and so forth, could look different. So value-based means for me emotional-based services or processes or products, which then, in per definition, are actually human-centered, because you are fulfilling a certain value for the user, you're fulfilling a certain emotion for the user. So that may not value in the sense of economical value, but I mean really the value what you're adding on top of it. In German, you would say Mehrwert or emotional benefits. This is important for me, and it would be something I would recommend. Please think of what value you are adding to the process and how you can build a value-based process, not just a human-centric or business-oriented or whatever. What is the value you're bringing to that process? Second would be, see yourself as really designer or really the game master, if you want like that, of the process. Because I think that's important that you understand to give freedom and creativity within the process. If you're not able to provide it for human or value, you need to understand that that value, what you're putting in, is something a computer or artificial intelligence or a system or whatever can bring to the process. So I would recommend to see yourself as a game designer, if you want to say see it from that point, or game master, rather than some odd way of the old way to see yourself as the process orchestrator. Because the orchestrator is not a designer. It doesn't go maybe the new ways. And the third recommendation would be, have fun and try to give fun to others with the processes, because that is for me something, you know, I know that it's hard to create fun, but if you're able to understand that, because it's as well very hard in games to create fun, but games actually create fun because of the design. So if you're having the top mind, like the value-based, which comes with the human centricity, which then comes with the so-called game master design, you automatically are able to build fun. And that's, I think, most important within processes, because if it's not fun, a computer can do it.
Wow, that's so cool. I just was part of a training where I said, my expectation is to have fun in the end. Yeah. And this is always getting up in the morning. I want to have fun. Sure. I need to make money to survive somehow. But if I cannot review the day in the afternoon and say, yeah, this was a fun day, then we'll be really sad. So that's cool. Thanks.
And fun, on the other hand, if I may add on top of that, it doesn't always have this ha 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 way, you know, like it needs to add some purpose or meaning. That is sometimes as well what we call fun for the user. And that is what happens in game design, that it is meaningful what the user is doing, and that creates fun at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Ah, cool. That was so inspiring talking to you. And I could deep dive into other topics for hours, I would say. And maybe we should have a follow-up session on some specific aspects later on. But for today, just to wrap it up, what is your key message to our listeners to rethink processes?
Process, and I love to give that little metaphor again. I love to talk in metaphors. You can have either the fast way with the ICE, but then you may lack the experience. And sometimes if you go, and that's with the game, UX usually makes it very fast to come from A to B. Mm-hmm. It's the fastest way with a lot of technology. You pay a lot of money for it, and it's like streamlined as hell. And if something doesn't work, it's done. It's a shitty process. ICE is the best maybe metaphor for it, because then you're standing on the station and the platform, and you're thinking, oh, 50 minutes already too late. Oh, shit, it's not, ugh. And sometimes if you want to have the best experience, the fastest way and the most expensive is maybe not the one you should choose. Maybe... And that always usually happens by accident. You take maybe not the fastest way, but maybe you take a little bit the slower way, but you make more experiences. Meaning, if you go for user centricity, you can either make it fast or you can make it with a lot of experiences. And with a lot of experiences, it means that you may are not the fastest way, but you will have obstacles coming in that area. May when you're having the A to B and you take not the ICE but maybe the regio train or a slower train, you may have time to talk to people. You may go to the go out and in again of the train. You need to get something to drink. You see other maybe you go over aqueduct and you can enjoy the nature. This is something which is important as well for people, because experiences are key for people, for us as human beings. We don't learn A without failure, and we are not able to build up on that failure with good experience, with good example, if we cannot make them and if we don't understand how they are done. So at the end, it comes down and that is what I wanted to say to you. You can make it fast, for sure. It's a good process, but it's expensive. And if you, fuck it up, you will have a problem because it's then not working. But you may slow down a little bit and give the opportunity to make experiences. This may not be the fastest way. But some things don't need to be convenient. They don't need to be fast. So why the hell is everybody looking for the fastest way and not the one which brings you the most experience?
Yeah, nothing to add. I love that. Thank you. That's great. So where can our listeners go to if they want to learn more about you?
They can find me on LinkedIn if they want to. So Jasmine Karatas. So you just need to look for that. You can find me on jasmine-karatas.ch, so for Switzerland. Or you can look me up on Twitch if you ever want to try that. But I have to say it's very special.
I'll put the link into the show notes for sure. All the listeners out there, you have to try it. And I will add the time when you are online as well. So
Thank you.
As a reminder for myself so that they will be able to see you live there. That's super cool.
Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Just one outlook to other topics. What would you recommend? Which topic, method, tool, expert, whatever, would you recommend to having a closer look at for us to get ideas to rethink processes?
I think it's very interesting to look into. I know you heard a lot, but metaverse and different opportunities and how it is shaped there, because I think processes are there different. So you can have either David Bundy for it. He is one of the initiators of the metaverse talks here in Switzerland. I think that is something interesting on processes, how it's shaped. And on the other hand, I really would recommend you to look for a real game designer. I have a lot of them. I can give you names of them. It depends on where you want to go towards to. But I think it would be interesting to see how they shape processes on their side, because they see it different but same-ish.
Yeah, definitely. I will. So I need names. But maybe you can give me these names later.
I can give you later some names, because there are a lot. I wanted to give you some where you can a little bit have better understanding.
That's very cool. Thanks a lot for this. So is there anything else before we leave the aircraft? Because I don't know if you already realized that we smoothly landed the aircraft. So is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
Remove before flight, right?
Yeah.
I think that's important. Always.
Great. Okay, nothing to add. So, finally, how would you describe your flight experience with just three words? And don't say remove before flight. And then these are four words.
These are four words.
So, how would you describe the flight experience?
Lean, fun, and expressive.
Okay, cool. Yeah, for me, it was also very inspiring and a lot of fun. So, Jasmine, thank you so much for being in New Process Podcast. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Let's recap today's New Process Inspiration.
Hey, what was that? Remove before flight are three words, not four. Obviously, I'm not able to count to three. Maybe I was a little bit confused because we had these tags, which are normally used to mark the places at an aircraft where work is going on and to make sure that the work is finalized. And then these flags are removed before flight. Maybe you know these red flags on an aircraft. And we used them as merchandising for the former process management system of Lufthansa Technik, which was called IQ Move, more or less two words. So the tags were then called IQ Move before flight. So look into your processes before flying. Yeah, okay. But let's get back to the content of the interview. I would say Jasmine's ideas on how to gamify a learning process completely opened up a new creative space of thinking for me. So I never thought about the examples she gave to us. So that's really interesting for me. And let's sum it up. My five key learnings are, the first one is see yourself as a game designer rather than a process orchestrator, or as I would say it, process architect. So see yourself as a game master. That's a nice picture, I would say. And then in the second step, gamify the process. Gamify the learning journey and create experiences. So use existing games as templates, like escape games or Dungeons and Dragons, The Settlers of Catan, Monopoly, whatever. And then make the learning journey, the process, a fun experience. And then my third key learning is you can push it to the next level by framing the learning journey in a gamified way. So in case of a role play, which is always a good idea to experience a process, I would say push it to a creative space like Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or Peter Pan or Mario and Luigi. That's also nice. And as Jasmine said, think about how Gandalf would recruit his crew to find the ring and use costumes, masks, dress up like these characters. That's super interesting. And these first three key learnings, or these first three steps, I would say, were to create the impulses and the fun experience. And then learning number four, or step number four, would be to connect these experiences with theory. And this is something we already talked about in the episode with Ole Tillmann. So it's really necessary to connect the experiences with theory. And finally, after the game, discuss the learnings and connect these with the real process. And then finally, the fifth learning is, that the fastest way is not always the best one. I remember the train example she gave to us. So sometimes the longer journey, the slower journey is the better way to create a better process and a better, a bigger, stronger value and a better experience for the people. So keep these five key learnings in mind. And wow, wrapping that up, I really get excited to dive deeper into this and maybe to completely rethink the way to inspire people. So to build a game to inspire people for processes, maybe taking the existing core idea of the pizza game we already talked about in several episodes and completely rethink, redesign this game based on the learnings of this episode. That's something which I have in mind and I'm thinking about. So let's see. If you are interested in this, then just send me an email with I love pizza as the subject line. Send that to Mirko@newprocesslab.com. And then let's see what we can make out of it. So if you're interested in that, that would be super fun. Cool. And yeah, finally, to give you an outlook, the next episode will be another tool episode coming out already next week. And then the week after, there will be a real process architect in the interview. So that's something you asked for, and I organized that, and that's going to be a super interesting story with nice insights as well. So stay curious and keep on rethinking your process. But for now, thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye and auf Wiedersehen.
You've been listening to the New Process Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode for more tools, methods, and best practices to rethink your process and push it to the next level. Thank you for listening.
Okay, before you leave, I have to pick up the idea of creating a game to inspire people for processes again. And maybe the core idea of using the pizza restaurant example is a good one. So if you're interested in this, please just send me an email with I love pizza as subject to Mirko@newprocesslab.com. That is Mirko@newprocesslab.com. Thank you much and bye-bye.